Hey guys, welcome back to Marginally Managerial.
Welcome back.
That was Elise in the background. My name is Jamie. We're doing a little something, maybe it's not different because we're still so new, but last week we talked about a what?
A mini-sode, like My Favorite Murder.
I know. We can't steal that, though.
maybe we can. I don't know.
So we're doing like, last week we talked about some competencies that Elise shared about how to deal with workplace stress in different management styles and competencies that you overuse, underuse, ideally what you should be using. So this week we were going to just talk a little bit about more personal stories that we have in situations where we've had to deal with workplace stress, whether we were stressed or someone that we worked with was stressed, someone that we managed was stressed or emotional. So it'll be more of like a storytelling time, I think, than anything else. But
love it.
All right. So, so you've been a manager at multiple different retail locations, right? So I'm sure, like you, as have I, have had many experiences with people just breaking down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for
sure.
So
can you think of, like, the most awkward situation that you've had with, like, a breakdown?
Oh, I have. So I was like, oh, for a second, because we didn't plan out what we're going to talk about. We just wanted to have like a conversation. Instantly, I have an idea. Okay. So okay, let me just set the stage. Okay, so I'm working at a women's clothing retailer. Okay, and this is where I worked for 6 years before the toy company. I work with only women. There's like one gay dude, like, sprinkled in. There was one straight guy that we had that everyone hooked up with, and so just like picture this, just like all yes. women. Okay, so emotions
love
are
triangles
wild
everywhere.
Yeah, this one at this particular location, I worked at 5 stores when I worked for that company, so this particular location, only women. It was pretty small, like 30 people tops. This is the one, the final location that I worked at where I quit. So like there was a lot of like emotional political stuff. Everyone was like mad. It was like a really weird atmosphere. So my best friend at the time was the receiving manager, and she just like, we were very similar. Like we were super sarcastic. We got along super well. Like she reminds me a lot of you, to be honest, like where she's like can be super tough, but is also just really cares about people, is really compassionate, but like takes no shit, right? So the first thing I think of, like what is super awkward. So we used to call her receiving table the crying desk, where anyone who needed to cry at work from like a customer or from like another employee would go sit under her desk and cry. Because
under
if someone
her desk?
Under her desk, you'd sit under there. She's receiving product like it's normal. You're sitting under there crying your eyes out because she would protect you while you're crying. Because someone would come back and be like, hey, have you seen Elise? And she'd be like, nope, haven't seen her. So like, it was like well known that you could cry under this desk. And so it's like, there were so many times that like, it's A, so sad that we had to have a crying spot. And be like, it was also like so amazing that she would like look out for you and just like let you be this vulnerable person and just like cry underneath her.
Was she like the same age as everybody else or was she a lot older?
We're roughly the same age. She's like 2 or 3 years older than me, but like not a ton older. You know what I'm saying?
No, I was just envisioning like a bunch of, you know,
like a mom,
22 to 24. 6-year-olds running around crying and like a 50-year-old woman like, oh, come cry
no.
on my desk. But it wasn't like that. There were peers. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Isn't that ridiculous though? That like we just would all go back there and cry and she would just be like, oh no, haven't seen her.
Oh, you cried too?
Aww. Yeah. Oh, I 100% cried under that desk. Because you're like, she would like talk to you while you're crying if you wanted to. And then yeah. it would be like, yeah. And then like if anyone came back, no, no.
Oh my gosh. That reminds me of a similar situation at a retail store that I worked in New Hampshire. But instead of a crying desk, it was like a sex cubby thing that
they had. Shut up. And they had.
yeah, so I worked at like a very large hardware store. So
like you couldn't wait. You work at a hardware store. You couldn't wait long enough. Anyway, tell your story. I can't believe it.
I'm like, me? I mean, I wasn't in the sex cubby. But yeah, they had to. So kind of similar. Well, maybe not similar, but there was a lot of like people dating each other and people like being engaged to one guy and then breaking up and then, you know, 3 months later being engaged to another guy and then breaking up. It was like everyone was falling in love so hard, so fast, and then breaking up.
Like triangles, octagons.
Yeah. And yeah. So, but apparently like right before I got there, there was this like huge investigation that went on because of some harassment suits that were filed about this little sex cubby that was like in the back of the plywood department. And it was like they had it situated where we had like a piece of equipment kind of blocking the entranceway. So
yeah,
if it was there, like nobody that didn't know it was there would know that you could just move that. And then there was like a pretty significant size cubby back there, but yeah, so then they had to shut it all down. And
I just can't believe that, like, that it was like, so that is ridiculous to me. Like, even like whatever, let's say it's a whatever retail job, but like, bro, just like wait 4 hours. Four.
Well, so the funny thing is that the HR person that I replaced was involved in this, like, one of these love
triangles.
And she was like, so someone found out that she was now in the triangle and they just totally threw her under the bus. And oddly enough, she didn't get fired. She got demoted and transferred to a different location. And so clearly that shit just kept happening at this other location. 4 miles down the road.
That's like true retail fashion, though, where it's like, we will isolate you and put you somewhere else so you hate your life so much that you will quit.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make you run a cash register.
Yeah. I can't believe that. That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. But I mean, I just like,
okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like,
simmer on this for as long as we need to.
The thing that, like, I struggled with that I, like, didn't think I would struggle with was, like, managing dudes. Like, I went from managing 99.9% women to, like, a workplace where there was 3 women. And then, like, now I'm, like, I have, like, 50-50. So, like, actually managing guys was, like, a real struggle that I, like, had to work through. Because, like, up through my management career and everything that I learned was, like, so women focused, whether or not like it was intentional. It was just like what I had grown up dealing with. Even like the working at the smoothie shop, it was like 75-25. So it was like once I got to a workplace that was all dudes, I was like, this is different. So like having like a sex cubby is like so beyond my realm of thought.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like working at a hardware store, we're probably 60-40, so men only outnumbered women by a small percentage. I mean, really not a lot at all. And I will tell you that probably one of the most difficult things that I had to do was, so it's a hardware store, right? And we had a lot of people that were retired from their like careers just wanting to work part-time to get out of the house and make a little extra money, and then that would be their like going out to eat lunch money with their wife or husband or whatever. And then we had a lot of like college students that would be like running the front end, cash registers, working in this sales floor, but young, cute, you know, college girls.
Oh, sure.
And so these men would think that they could like flirt and be cute with these college girls, and they would just, it just makes you be like a creepy old man. Plus, yeah, we're at work, so please don't. I mean, it's not like you're my neighbor and you're like telling me that now I look cute in that dress.
It's
today
different.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So having to like sit these older men down, as myself, I'm just 25. Brand new.
Yeah, I was
new
like, you were. Are you sure you
manager.
Were 25 even?
Huh?
Are you sure you were even 25? Like you could
have
been
23. I got my first HR job the week I turned 25.
Ugh. That's baby, like thinking about it now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What? Like they took a chance on me. I mean, it worked out. I was successful in the end, but the first year was definitely rough. I mean, if you're asking my opinion, I killed it. But having to sit then there was like two of them that had been working at this store for like 10 years. You know, they were coasting. They were easy. They were happy. Super innocent. But having to sit them down and be like, that's inappropriate. It makes them feel uncomfortable. So I need you to kind of sit here. Like, let's talk about this. You have to accept this. But one step further, you cannot go out and bring attention to this to these women because you have already made them feel so uncomfortable that a formal apology would have brought them to tears. I mean, it was that
would have like made them so much more uncomfortable.
Yeah. So I was like, and you know, they're old school. They were like, oh my gosh, I did something wrong. I hurt someone's feelings. Like I have to fix this. But like having to sit them down and like get them to A, open up with me, B, admit that they were wrong, C, agree to do something differently in the future, and then D, like just let things cool down a little bit and then say, hey, how are you doing today? And ease up right into small talk. And that was just, I mean, I had to do like a full investigation first and make sure that there was actually no harm done. You know, there was nobody right crossed the line, but it was definitely getting to the point where enough people were feeling uncomfortable that it needed to change. It needed to be stopped. So, and it's kind of funny how like when one person brings something to the attention or something comes to the surface, how kind of like the bandwagon effect, but I don't want to be like victim blaming, but kind of the same thing. Yeah. Like when you dig down into it deeper, you realize like, wow, this is a problem that we didn't know that we had or that had no idea mm-hmm. was going on, and you have to address it. So bandwagon effect is definitely not the right terminology, but that's people yeah, weren't yeah. just jumping on board because they wanted to. It was like legit concerns. So
it's like the confidence in numbers where like there's one person, so then the others are like, oh, that happened to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of, it's crazy. And it's different where I work now. Like skin is so thick that if you get upset or offended by anything, it's like you're immediately the weak animal. You're the prey. You're, it's so intense. I mean, that's part yeah. of the reason why I wanted to talk about workplace stresses, because I told Elise, I was like, man, I got to get a handle on this. Like, it's getting out of control. I'm just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. The I guess the question is like, I'm like relatively easygoing. Like I think in general, like to actually get me like worked up and worried takes a lot. Like I'm like, take it or leave it. But I'm really good at checking out. Like, when I leave, I'm like, bye. And I, like, don't really think about work unless, like, something particularly big has happened or whatever. So, like, I have a hard time understanding people that are, like, working all the time and, like, or thinking about work all the time, because that's just, like, not me. I, like, get home and I'm like, what Real Housewives is on? Let me watch it. Or, like, I internet to my heart's content or whatever it is that I'm doing. So it's, like, to be, like, so stressed out that it's bleeding into your personal life, like, I just, like, I can imagine because I have been there at some point, but, like, over most of the time, I'm like, bye.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, like, when I realized that I was starting to, like, snap at my husband or get annoyed at things that shouldn't annoy me. You know, I mean, it's,
yeah,
okay, hello, realization here. It's just a job. It cannot start impacting your personal life to the point where you're having an unhealthy personal life. You know, it's kind of crazy. I actually read an article today about CNN. It was a CNN article. I forget the name of it, but we can find it and put it in the description if you want to hear it or read it, about how unemployment can actually be healthier than people
going to work. I saw that article.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, like, skimmed through it and I just thought, well, they both have a whole different set of stress that implicates everything to do with your life. So it's kind of hard, like, when you're not unemployed to hear advice to be like, you mean my life would be easier if I was unemployed? Like, sounds so counterintuitive, but
where, like, so a lot of what the article was talking about was that, like, if you're unemployed, your only focus is finding a better job, right? Of course you're worried about money, you're worried about, like, your housing, your living situation, but it intrinsically gives you more flexibility because you are looking for something and you're driving towards that, right? Like, towards your goal. Where, like, if you are underemployed or, like, employed at, like, a minimum wage job or something that's a little bit lower, it creates a stress of, like, how am I going to live my life? Plus, right, the talent at those places aren't that high. So most of the time you have someone who's not a great manager. You don't have workplace things. You don't have, most of the time, great health insurance or any health insurance at all. You're trying to figure out, how am I going to pay my bills with X amount of money? So it's just, like, a different type of stress, but it seems to be, like, that is the kind that permeates because you're investing a lot of time but not getting that much return realistically.
Yeah, and then you think about the people that have, like, you know, they don't have any of those problems, but they still have an incredible amount of workplace stress. Like, they make more money than they need. They're comfortable. They don't need to worry about. They've got good medical benefits. You know, it's just they work. They probably are the opposite of you and don't check out when they leave and are continuously, like, thinking about work or working long hours, working on the weekends, working on vacations, always on their phone, working on their phone. And that is so not healthy. I mean, I know that's what our work culture is in America, and it's incredibly depressing because how did we get here? You know, it's, you have to check out.
There's an interesting thing where, like, I have heard this comment. This comment has also definitely come out of my mouth. Like, some of the highest paid CEOs make, like, billions of dollars per year, right? And, like, you'll hear them, like, they're in the media, tweeting, social mediaing, doing their life, whatever. And you'll hear them be like, man, I'm tired. But then, like, my first instinct is to be like, well, you make $60 billion a year. You should be tired. Yeah. Right, you're getting paid this, like, huge amount of money to be on, and that's what you signed up for. So it's, like, an interesting kind of dichotomy. But then when you, like, roll it back and really think about them as a person and, like, probably their emotional health, their relationships with their family, their relationships with anyone in their life or what have you, those things definitely suffer due to that job because you can't check out. You can't just be yourself at a Starbucks because somebody knows who you are because you're Bill Gates or whoever, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's an interesting dichotomy that, like, even myself, my first reaction is like, well, that's what you're paid for.
Yeah, but I also think about like all the personal liability that they take by holding those executive level positions. I mean, it is all personal liability. If their company is caught in a scandal, they will be held personally liable. I mean, it could be like financially in the legal system, or they're the first ones to go. So it's just, you know, growing up and you're like, I want to make all this money and I want to be a CEO, or I want to, you know, you just think that you want to be rich, and then like you become 30 and you're like, whoa, all of this responsibility, I don't think I want it.
Just enough money to where I don't have to worry about money, and then I can lead a great personal life. That's what I want. Just want to put that on the record.
Yeah, finding the good balance is like, climbing the corporate ladder is not, I mean, I think it's a lot of people's like ambition, but then when you get down to it, the amount of responsibility that you have as you're climbing the ladder, I mean, it increases with the dollar amount. So is that, I don't know, I'm kind of like looking at that thinking, wow, okay, so maybe that's not the route that I want to go. Interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you do? You got to find that happy medium and then just meet expectations consistently so you don't get fired or promoted. Just like walk that fine line. Mess up just every now and then. So they're like, oh, she can't handle that. She can't handle any more responsibility. I'm tapped out on responsibility. I'm tapped out.
This is like not related to that at all, except for like financial stability, work life, whatever. So today I like got down this internet rabbit hole because my dog is sick today. So like I was on the couch, like just like petting her anyway. So I got down this rabbit hole of like side hustles and things that you can do to like make extra money on the side. And the idea is that they're like relatively low, like buy-in, but they will pay you consistently, or you're doing something that doesn't take a ton of effort that you can do in your spare time that just brings you a side income, aka more financial freedom. And so one of them, I sent it to you by the way, is you can be a digital juror for practicing law students. So you are an online juror who looks over these like prepared case files, and they pay you like $60 to $100 per case. I thought that was like a pretty interesting side hustle. That's not relevant to the conversation at all other than money, but I thought that was interesting.
Well, if you knew me, you knew that my dream job would be a professional juror, because jury duty is probably the most fun thing I've ever done in my life. And if I could just consistently do that, case closed, make a decision, move on, next case, like, talk with your peers, let's get through this.
You can. Yeah. I sent you the link.
Oh my gosh.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to be so excited.
I will also include this link in the description for any others of you that are interested in the judicial system. I found it super interesting. I loved being on a jury. Just the politics between the people and the discussions, and just like watching other people waver, and like how different it was on like day one versus day four. It was very interesting. I loved the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I loved it too. And it's so, it's like kind of similar to TV, but like not really at all. Like all the dramatics that are in. It's a way more private, and you never know what they're objecting, and you never know why. And it's like,
exactly.
Make a stance, be loud. No.
No. There's no like big sweeping moment where the prosecutor or the defense comes in and they're like, and that's why you're a crook. No, object.
You can say that. Yeah. We've both been jurors many times. Well, I've been twice in two different states. Have you just done it once?
I've only been called once, and then I got picked that one time, and then I got called again, but they didn't need me this time. I was super disappointed.
Yeah, I've been called twice and picked twice.
Well, I think we have friendly faces, so like not to like talk them up or whatever, but I think we just like look like we would be objective.
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, I'm just like, I'm in human resources, and I feel like they're like, oh, good, a professional.
And they're like, yes, let's
decision
take you.
Maker who has to gather data and make a rational decision. And they're like, just stay right there.
Perfect. They're great.
Getting rid of all the crazy people that are going on rants about something political on the stand just to get off.
I just imagine them all, like, I know you don't watch 30 Rock, but some people listening might. There's this, like, whole stint. I love Liz Lemon. I feel like she's partially my spirit animal, split with Leslie Knope, split with Andy. And so...
Andy?
Yeah, I love Andy so much, and I really identify with his impulsiveness. Like, I want okay. to do that. But,
yeah.
And he's just, like, having fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, just yeah. living his life in whatever way. Anyway, so, like, anyway. Liz Lemon.
Andy on Parks and Rec or Andy in yes. The Office?
No, Parks and Rec, not Andy from The Office.
Okay, okay, okay.
No, Andy from The Office I do enjoy as a viewing character, but no thanks. He's, no.
Okay.
Don't, anyways. No. So Liz Lemon gets called for jury duty, and it's just like this like quick flashback of her dressed up as Princess Leia with like the space buns and the whole nine, just being like, well, I don't think that I can serve because it is my star sign today, or like something super ridiculous. So that's what I imagined everyone would be like when I got in that call room. And then it was essentially like that though.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were all just, like, radicalizing their political beliefs and were just, like, I could not possibly... My case was, like, the Holiday Inn or something. Like, someone was suing the Holiday Inn. So they would be, like, I fucking hate Holiday Inns. I stayed there once and there was a cockroach. I could not possibly be objective. And it's, like, but, like, couldn't you, though? And then it'll be, like... Oh, you know, I met the manager of that particular Holiday Inn once, and he was a dick to me, so I hate him for life. I, guilty, automatic. And it's like, really, though? Really?
Yeah, California, too, they don't let you off. I mean, you can go up there and say anything, and they're like, okay, well, you can delay it, but you're...
Yeah.
They're like, we don't care and that much. And it's
like, yeah. It's like, I have dogs... I don't have kids. I have a job that pays me for like 4 months of jury duty. It's just like, I have no excuse.
Take right, me. And it's fun.
I think
it's,
this is fun.
Breaks up the day, yeah. It's for sure.
All right, we successfully sidebarred plenty on jury duty.
Yeah, sidebarred so much. So we want to end it with a one positive thing. And then, yeah. Okay, do you have one? I'm like, I've been thinking all day, like, because I said my things were going to be positive work things.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I'll go first, per usual. Why don't we just assume I always go first? We'll just make this a thing.
Okay.
So this week, mine are just going to be travel related for the month of August. Also exciting for any of you listeners, next week after you're hearing this. Or maybe the week that you're hearing this. I haven't decided yet. I'm the technological one. So we will be recording our first in-person podcast while we'll be sitting next to each other because we're going to DC together. I'm really excited. So, like, I'm super pumped to be in the same room and record. I think that's going to be so fun.
It's going to be really weird with, like, because you'll listen to some podcasts and they just, like, go back and forth and like kind of talk at the same time, but you can hear them. And I feel like because we're on the phone, there's that little bit of like, So sorry about that, guys, but it'll be different. It'll just, I mean, we're going to be super awkward and regular. Anyway,
also, so. We are probably, I mean, hopefully, going to hit 100 subscribers soon. So we are trying to think about what we're going to do in person to celebrate 100 subscribers. So we were thinking we would take like a shot or do some kind of drink and then maybe record the podcast. So like a little bit loosey goosey. So let us know if you have any ideas or recommendations for shots that we can take. We were thinking maybe Michael Scott's like one of everything, but we'll be traveling. So we won't have access to that stocked of a bar. Seems typical. We could order one, though. That would be ridiculous.
App, please deliver me one shot mixed with everything open.
No, no. We did, like, go to a physical bar. We'll post it on our Instagram story if this is what we do. Go to a bar and order a one of everything. That would be fun. I feel
like they would just be like, no, you have to leave.
Then an interesting Instagram story it will be.
Yeah, so I'm obviously super excited to go to DC too. Our other bestie is there, and we're going to celebrate her. But I did say that mine would be work related, so you know, I've been so busy at work that the days are flying by. Like, seriously, it feels like 5 minutes in the days. I'm way late. I should have left 45 minutes ago. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they just drag on, you know, and you just want to go. So.
And like, it'll be like 10:30 and you're like, is this day, how is it not 7 p.m.?
Yeah. Yep. I tell you every time I have one of those days, but I haven't really even been talking to you because I have been so crazy busy, which is fun.
Radio silent on our G-chat.
I know. And we're still doing interviews, which is fun. And I like doing interviews. And yeah.
Great. So
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe.
Yeah.
And stay tuned for our next episode, which is going to be an in-person one. You can email us any suggestions, anything you want to see, marginallymanagerial@gmail.com. And any of the show notes or any links we talked about will be on our website, our fancy new website, marginallymanagerial.com. All right.
Yay!
Bye!